You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Kia ora, good morning, Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Kia ora, morena.
Now,
lovely, lovely day for a lovely theme today.
We've got it's love songs till 10:20 here on BFM.
It is.
we're talking about sapphism, which is actually a new term for me. It's an umbrella term for any woman attracted to woman in a relationship with another woman, regardless of their sexual orientation, and encompassing the romantic love between women. So it's
oh, that's a good one.
It's what, yeah, so these are female songs about women that women fancy.
Well, it's women loving women, because there are lesbians, but there's also queer, pansexual, bi, you know, experimenting.
It's everyone, though, right?
It's just, so it's WLW, women loving women, and it's named after a Greek poetess, Sappho, from the island of Lesbos, which is where a lot of the stuff got its name. And it's there's a lot of great music, a lot of great artists. You know, most of the songs we talk about are about heterosexual love, and we're just shining spotlight on some songs that are on
women loving women. Yes, okay. Nice. Now, where are we going to start with women loving women this morning, Kirsten?
Oh, we're going to start with one of the queens. This is Melissa Etheridge, in sort of a country music vein. And she came out in 1993. It has been a little difficult for her, especially in the country genre.
What year did this song come out? Because I seem to know it.
This is
1993.
And this is the same year she came out. So, you know, again, I don't know if she had to come out or chose to. You know, sometimes with pop stars, you know, they have to. Because she only sort of got started. Her first album was 1988. So she was still sort of coming through. But anyway, so this, you know, this is a lesbian, this is on people's top 10 lesbian, you know, sweet songs to fantasize about your girl crush to, lovingly pine away. But, you know, so that's why it's such a broad spectrum. It's pining away for your girl crush if you're straight,
yes.
Or it's full on lesbian, you know what I mean? So, but it's music by women for women is another. Oh, yeah. Come to my window. Now, what's funny is her life reads like any dude rock star's life. So many marriages, so many kids. She famously, with her first marriage, used David Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. She used his sperm for her kids. But anyway, like, it just reads like you're reading Mick Jagger's bio. You know, like, it's just rock and roll lifestyle.
Are there any recurring musical motifs or lyrical themes in songs that explore sapphic love?
I guess, you know, the big thing, and this sounds so simple, is the pronouns, you know? Because, exactly, I was going to maybe do cross-gendered covers, you know, because if I sing a song or if you sing a song that you really enjoy, but the pronouns are the other way around, you know, like, oh, do I switch it? Do I keep the song intact? Has it now become a gay song? You know, like, so I think, you know, that's the big thing is if you hear a woman and she's using she in the song, is she just covering a song written by a man? Or is she, you know, signaling women loving women? Or does it matter because it's if the audience sort of feels, you know, empowered by it?
I mean, What are some early examples of songs that explicitly or implicitly express sapphic love? And
I don't know about songs, but I mean, you get the artists like Joni Mitchell, who were queer. The biggest one was Katie Lang, that she started as a lesbian. You know, like she didn't come out later. She started there, and there's a huge. There was a big women's music sort of underground circuit of coffee houses and certain bars in like Portland and Seattle and Northern California and Brooklyn for women's evenings and women's artists. There was women's events also, you know, sort of big women's festivals that celebrated like, you know, literature, poetry, visual arts. So it was always like just under the surface, this sort of women's movement, women's art as well, queer activism, and then with it, this WLW sort of music. So we're going to play Tegan and Sarah now.
Oh, yeah, Tegan
They're
and Sarah.
They're another really important in the...
Once upon a time, BFM hosted Tegan and Sarah in Shadows Bar. I went to that gig. They played it. Yeah, they played at the old Shadows. All I want to get is a little bit closer. All I want to know is, can you come a little closer? So 2013, just to timestamp this one. I think Tegan and Sarah played at Shadows a long time before that, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel like it would be like 2004 or something.
Well, yeah, because info I have here is they sort of started releasing music in 98. Yeah, so I guess there's still some time,
yeah,
you know, in that 10-year period. They're twins. They're born in 1980. And they're both gay. Now they're both married. And, very involved. I mean, I guess, you know, do they have to be, but very involved in all sorts of gay marriage activism, pro-queer activism, heaps of fundraising stuff for the community. You know, it's sort of like, if you're going to be a queer artist, you can't just make your music, you know? It's like the sort of community activism and politics just sort of comes with the package. Now they're doing, like, pro-trans activism, you know, so it's just been a big part of their life as musicians. You know, it's funny when I hear, you know, musicians talk about that they want to separate music and politics. Well, for some people, they have no choice, you know, like, because of who they are, you know, the politics is right there. And, you know, it's just kind of weird, the United States, that, you know, people are still having discussions about, you know, gay marriage and trans folks. To me, it feels just so medieval, but it's still there.
Kirsten, are there any specific genres of music where sapphic love is more prominent?
Yes, this is the genre. The singer-songwriter, folky, is absolutely the, air quotes, woman's music genre. Mm. Now, some of it's because of where it was circulated, you know, at festivals, at coffee houses, you know, it wasn't stadium music. I mean, there's... it's just Peaches. I was going to say, yes, there's electro artists, like, you know, Peaches and stuff, but the sort of scene really lent itself well. I guess also doing, like, women's literature as well, so, like, library events, definitely the sort of indie, low-key singer-songwriter genre tended to dominate women's music, so much so that, you know, a lot of lesbians or women who love women say, just like, I don't like lesbian music, you know, because it was all that genre. But this song has been so popular, it's featured on Glee, on BoJack Horseman, on Degrassi, on RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, it's you know, like, it's not underground, you know, even though stylistically, yeah, it's that sort of indie folky chill gig music. Well, if we want to move to our next track, this is the example of not the, air quotes, women's music genre. So this is Young Ma, and she's so funny. So she does full-on kind of gangster rap stuff. She's got, like, face tats and dresses fully butch, and her videos is her with, like, heaps of ladies in bikinis and thongs by the swimming pool, and she's smacking that at, you know, like
yeah.
She just took that set of what was a misogynist genre and just now does it as a lesbian.
Yes.
She just got 100 missed calls. It's her man. Damn. Oh, that's your nigga now, huh?
Are there, I mean, Kirsten, we're kind of like, we're looking at this through a Western lens, but are there any key differences in how sapphic love is represented in music from different parts of the world? Is it like, is there a noticeable distinction between Western and non-Western musical tradition?
Well, yeah, no, definitely Western music has been allowed to be more overt. I mean, there's like probably ancient songs from like Persia and Northern India from famous poetesses, but no, it's still definitely not the done thing in many countries around the world. So this song's from 2018. She had a big breakout in 2016, and she's Jamaican Puerto Rican from New York, but she says this song is about taking chicks from their man, which she loves to do, and it's the video is about flexing for the haters. So just, if you're in the mood to flex for the haters, this is your jam.
I'm rich and they fucking hate. Are they, I mean, have you encountered songs that challenge or subvert societal norms regarding civic love? Like, specifically, how do they navigate themes of secrecy or defiance?
Well, I mean, for instance, Young Ma, she's just like, no secrecy, I'm gonna turn this on the head. It doesn't have that same sort of, like I said, the, you know, romantic pining for your girl crush or come to my window, you know, all that secrecy. The big one people talk about is the Miranda Lambert song, and it is more this sort of, I guess, you know, white girl sort of safety, but yet still doing something, you know, a little no, I don't want to say dangerous, just, you know, that could cause a stir. Whereas for some folks, it's not even causing a stir, you know, it's obviously risk of, you know, death and expulsion from the community sort of thing.
Do you have any examples of songs, sapphic love songs, that have had a significant political impact?
I don't know. I mean, Katie Lang definitely, I think, has been so big in this area. But, you know, now you get young ones like Hayley Kiyoko and stuff that just, it's just so much more free. You know, the sort of post-Tumblr, TikTok era now, a lot of young women are just heaps more free with what they can and can't do. I still don't know how mainstream would deal with everything, but you know, looking at where Tegan and Sarah went. So do we have time?
Yeah. I reckon, should we pull it up? Pull up this last track.
Yeah, so this is Japanese House. Her real name's Amber Bain, but she performs under the name Japanese House. She's British. People call this song emotional, transcendental, and mesmerizing.
I quite liked it when you sent it through. This is my first time listening to it yesterday. I thought, oh, this is quite a nice song.
It's from 2018. Now, I'm using she, her pronouns, but she goes in and out of being gender fluid. She feels pronouns aren't really working for her a lot. I was alone, I was emotional, searching for the red emoticon
to expand my mental lexicon. So, just would you say that the majority of sapphic love songs are coming from like the LGBTQ plus community, or is there still quite a few that come from like the hetero side of things?
No, it's very much, well, you know, it's interesting. So it's very much was from the women's community.
Yes, women's
not
community.
Not LGBTQ plus.
Okay.
And but so that's why now, though, for Tegan and Sarah to be pro-trans, because there's sometimes with the some rad femme lesbians can be anti-trans. So to have the sort of younger community, Janelle Monáe, really sort of being open to, you know, not just lesbian, but pro-trans, queer, bisexual, pan, you know, sort of keeping it bigger. And yeah, using WLW instead of lesbian, that sort of thing. And that's why I guess calling it sapphic, just trying to be more open.
Yes, okay.
To all elements of the community rather than locate it so specifically in a community. And I know in the community, they want to acknowledge the sort of early lesbians that really fought really hard for everything, but just politically not always agreeing sometimes with you know, everything that they're standing for at the moment. But
interesting, man.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a pretty deep topic for you.
Yeah, I'm like just trying to get my head around it. That's awesome.
But yeah, there's probably people out there, you know, involved in some of these communities. But it's just so cool how like popular music can tell that story for us, and watching these artists and their struggles and then their beautiful songs and lyrics, and you know how it can appeal to people, you know even straight people. But I don't know dudes, if your straight girlfriend's listening to some of these artists, I don't know, dude, I don't want to say anything, but I don't know. Of course they'll go, no honey, it's fine.
Hey, the good songs, but yeah,
you're gonna go look through your chick Spotify collections tonight and say, hey, listening to Japanese house. But okay, the other thing that Women Love Women seem to love doing is curating. So the amount of song lists, top lesbian songs, top 30, you know, like Women Loving Women, they love a curation.
WLW is what you look out for, right? Women Loving Women.
Well, Women Loving Women, but the sapphic is this new term. They've just started trying to bring.
But sapphic is an old term, right?
Well, that's right. It's from 600 BC.
Okay.
No, but so they're trying to use that just to have these bigger terms. Because, it was lesbian, right? And some of this music still does identify as lesbian, and that's fine. Or women's music. Mm. That's like its own genre. Lesbian love songs. But, yeah, so I use WLW in some of my publications. But, yeah, just seeing sapphic come back, maybe that's sort of a more pretty, poetic way.
I mean, that's a great word, sapphic. It's awesome.
I know. Mm. That's sapphic. Spelled SAPPHIC. So it's just a very pretty word.
Excellent. Hey, Dr. Kirsten Zemke, thank you so much for Traveling Tunes this morning. Have a great weekend, and we'll look forward to next Friday.
Yeah, sorry to talk so much over the beautiful songs.
No, it's good.
We'll have to go listen to them later.
Yeah. All right. Cheers, mate.
Bye. Okay. All right, bye.
That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.